The scripture today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I'm going to be reading from the 4th chapter, the 11th and following verses. I'm reading from the Revised Standard. It may be a bit different. "And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love." I went through the New Year's resolutions of last week, and there was just a recurring theme. It was in almost every resolution, even if the word wasn't used, but the theme was growth. The theme of all of those resolutions, in one way or another, was about growth. We hear Paul say, God gives us gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Which are you? Which are the? Are you an evangelist? A prophet, maybe? We got some prophets. Pastor, we've got some pastors, some teachers. And you say, whoa, I don't have any of those gifts. Well, truth be told, some of you do and don't know it. That's the truth. But there are other gifts you have. I may have told you about my good friend Velma in Eastland, Texas. If I did, I forgot that I told you, and you will be gracious enough not to remind me. The mind is about the third thing to go. Velma the chicken fryer. Velma was one of our elders in the church in Eastland. Velma ran the food service for the high school. The kids loved eating lunch there. Velma's gift was cooking. And her special gift was cooking fried chicken that would have made the colonel cry with envy. It was the best fried chicken I or anyone else had ever tasted. They had had a monthly dinner at First Christian Eastland when I got there. I was in seminary at the time. We would have people all over town. The building was bursting at the seams once a month. And that was when people came to eat Velma's fried chicken. Some of them actually came back on Sunday morning. Velma did not feel particularly blessed in her gift. She said, I can't do much. I'm not a speaker. I can't lead people. I don't want to be on. She was an elder, if that tells you something. But she was so modest that all I can do is cook up chicken. She was the best chicken fryer Eastland ever had. And that was, no one can tell me otherwise, a spiritual gift. There are gifts of creativity that each of you have. Talk about some of those gifts. Working with your hands. Did you know that Bobby Moore changed every one of those fans out in the gathering place? Did all the electrical work, all that? Guy's amazing. The gift of hospitality. Sarah, I talk bad about you almost every Sunday when I beg someone else to answer the question. But I'm going to talk nothing but pure goodness today, because Sarah is the front door of hospitality for our church family. I don't know how many here are here as a result of first meeting Sarah, but look, hands just go up all over the church. You have the gift of hospitality. There is a gift to relating to children. Cindy, Johnny, Peggy Schneider, Lindsay, y'all are saints. No, there really is a gift to relating to children on a level that draws them to you. And I've seen that in all four of you and everyone in here who works with the kids. There is the gift of organization. One of those gifts I am happy to report I do not have. But I am grateful for people like Andre and Brian and Rayal that they can actually, and Tommy, who is at a football game probably this weekend, but have the gift of organizing in ways that make things happen. There is the gift of compassion for the poor. Monica and Bobby Harris and Charles and Estelle and all of you. When I went to the food pantry this past Wednesday, there were 16 volunteers there. It was amazing. The gift of music. We don't realize the level of music that we have. Not just Teresa and John and Julia and Kathy and the foundation, but in all that was wonderful. That was wonderful. Okay. What are we going to use our gifts for? Listen one more time. I want you to listen to the 15th and 16th chapters one more time. 15th and 16th verses. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is knit together, joined. When each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. We are to grow into Christ. Every week when I go out, and I like to go out to the soup kitchen people, and I like to do 45 seconds of work. It is my job to haul the beans from the table to the pickup. I do that rather well, I think. But when they leave, I always say the same thing to them. Remember, hands and feet, hands and feet. What does that mean? It's reminding them as they go to the Salvation Army to minister in very personal, committed ways to the homeless in our community, that they are literally the hands and feet of Christ. We are called to grow into Christ. We are called to grow. We are not called to sustain the status quo. We are called to grow. In fact, there is no such thing as staying the same. Think about it. You can't do it. There is no such thing as stasis. Every system, every person is either growing or decaying. Some of us are doing both at the same time. I understand that. But you can't stand still. And in that same way, a church cannot stand still. There is either growth or decay. Growth takes energy. Lots and lots of energy. Do you know what happened earlier this morning? Houston Marathon. Wow. I used to be, when I was 40 years younger and 40 pounds lighter, a serious runner. I would train about 50 miles a week. That's a lot. That generally worked out into 2 a-days, 3 days, and 2 long-distance runs the other days. I competed in a couple of triathlons, not the Ironman, but a couple that were a little shorter, but were very hard on the body. One time, I was training on my bicycle, and my foot hit the pedal as it went around because I wasn't using foot straps because I was smarter than all the bike experts. And the bike went like that and I broke everything on this side of my body. That pretty much ended my competitive career, but I kept jogging, tried to keep in shape. I do my 3, maybe 4 miles now. You can either call it a really slow jog or a relatively fast walk. But I've tried to maintain that. Any system is like that. It takes a lot of energy in a system. Think about the energy that you put in here. Growth takes preparation. Every meeting we have here needs to be a preparation session for growth. Every meeting must have as its goal the growth of the church in Christ. That's one of my resolutions for us this year. Growth takes participation. You know the 20-80 rule, right? That in almost any organization it says that 20% of the people do 80% of the work and vice versa. We must break through that barrier. It is better here, by the way. I'm thinking that it's more like 40-60 and 60-40. We want to get where 50% of all of us are doing all of half the work and the other 50% is doing all of the other half of the work. Did you follow that? Me neither. Growth takes participation. Growth finally takes mutual love and respect. It takes a mutuality, a desire that the other's good is at least as important as your own, preferably more important than your own. Everyone here today is a beloved child of God. Beloved children of God love each other, and that love is the fuel for growth. When Kathy said earlier, the friendliest church, it really is. I've been in a lot of churches, and I know y'all are mostly polite around me. No, you're not. But this place just had, when you walk in the door, when I visit with people who are new and they've come and they've stayed, it's almost unanimous. And they say, well, when I walked in the door, I just was just overwhelmed by this love and people just paid attention to me and act like they cared what happened to me. I was accosted by love. That is a good thing. This church will grow because of our love for God and each other. If we do not grow, it will be because we have decided not to on several levels. We have so much to accomplish here at FCCC. as I like to say, FC3. There are new joys for us to experience. There are new people for us to meet and welcome. There are new lessons for us to learn. Lessons about life and love and faith. And yes, a lot of new mistakes to be made. Failure is an essential ingredient to growth. You hardly ever learn anything from your successes. The important lessons you learn are those lessons that you've learned from your rah-rah. Right? God has blessed us with a great place to do ministry. Conroe is a cool town. I really like Conroe. We would move here if we could. We are blessed with wonderful campus and facilities. Those of our sisters and brothers of the early 80s who planned for this, planned well. This is a beautiful facility. We are blessed with marvelous friends for the journey. Look around. If you look around, I like those people. God has blessed me with a little more gas in the tank than I thought I had. And I am thankful for that. It will be a good year. I can't wait to see what happens. Amen.